Having independent, effective access to the printed word significantly lessens the information handicap imposed by blindness. Optical character recognition, or OCR technology, has made a huge difference to the lives of many blind people. Yet there are many blind people who want this technology, desperately want it, and yet don't have it, partly because they know that many of the blindness-specific OCR packages offer features that blind people really do need. Those OCR packages have been quite expensive. A company that says it's going to change all that is Venussoft, with their affordable scan and read software to be released within the next week. To tell us more about that, I'm joined by Steve Timmer of Venussoft, the company who are manufacturing scan and read. First of all, before we talk about the scan and read system that you're about to launch, it's interesting to observe that in some small way, ACB has helped this project along. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. About 5 years ago, I was in the middle of really getting on with my life after losing my sight, and I wanted to go back to school, and I went back to school, and at the Commission for the Blind, my counselor showed me a list of scholarships and applied for one. And I went through the whole scholarship evaluation process, and I won a scholarship from the ACB. And they flew me down to Houston, Texas, and I gave a presentation there, and I went back to school, and this is what I've done with it. This is the result of it.
So what was your background before you lost your sight?
Okay, well, my background before I lost my sight, I was a nuclear engineer. Now, I found out that I really like business, so what I went back for is I went back to the school to do business, because I figured that's something I could do being blind or visually impaired without any problem.
So you kind of went into the computer field?
Yeah. I went into the business aspect of the computer field.
Right. Your company, as I understand it, doesn't just do adaptive technology. Like, it's quite a well-established company already.
Right. We got into, I was working with imaging products and packages for other projects that I was working at, and this is kind of a spin-off of those. But one thing we do pride ourselves in is making all our systems ADA compliant or fully accessible. We write programs for everybody, but they are also very accessible. And when I mean accessible, they don't necessarily, just because a screen reader reads information on the screen does not mean it's accessible. It needs to give you navigation clues, whether the field is required or not, or whether the field is grayed or not. I mean, there's a lot of different navigation. So that's things that we've incorporated. We've done fairly well writing regular programs, but also making them accessible, trying to set the standards.
So introduce us to Scan and Read, which is about to be released. If somebody said to you, what is Scan and Read, what's the brief answer to that before we tease it out a little more?
Well, Scan and Read, there's two products, so Scan and Read and Scan and Read Lite and Pro. Scan and Read is a self-contained reading program, the OCR package, that allows you to put a document in the scanner, off-center, upside down, sideways. It does full rotation. It will scan it and remove the text from it, then go through the process and recognize it and begin to read it to you. It's really simple. Three buttons. That's all you're required to know how to use it. It's, you press the F5 key to scan, F6 key to start reading, F7 key to stop reading. The reason we did that is we didn't, there's a lot of people out there that know JAWS, and there's a lot of individuals out there that know Window Eyes, etc., and they don't want to learn a whole set of keystrokes, or we don't want anything to interfere with the numeric keypad. We wanted to stay away from that. So we've designed it around to work with and not against your other screen reader packages. And that way you get the opportunity of just using your normal commands that you're used to using.
Now, the concept of a talking OCR package is not, of course, new or unusual in broad terms, so it's important to cut somewhat crudely, I suppose, to the bottom line and say that what's got a lot of people buzzing about the place is that the price that you intend to charge for this product is significantly lower than your competitors.
That is the whole premise here. Again, our company was started out not developing products, but just making them accessible, and that's what we've done as well. We want to market this to a lot of other areas other than just the blind community. And in order to be able to do that, we need to keep the cost down. So we would package it and price it just like we would any other package. we started out with what will the market support, and we worked backwards. And the market will support anything basically that's less than $100, $159, $49, $150. And we worked from there. And so we came up with, we did a lot of negotiation with our manufacturers and our tools, and we managed to get very good license agreements with their products, which allowed us to sell it at a much lower rate, which we're hoping to make up $4 in volume.
Can you tell us as much as you can about the engine that you have in there and how accurate you perceive it to be?
Yes, we're using some of the best technology as far as what Xerox can produce. In the background, everything that we're doing is through Xerox. But we're a long way separated from Xerox, but that's where we got our foundation. And it's really tied into the advantage that we have is we have a really neat imaging cleanup. It cleans up the image before the OCR will take place. It's very fast. And the thing that we wanted to do, another thing that we wanted to do is tie it in so our OCR package would work with any twinning scanner. So you can go out and buy the cheapest scanner out on the market and it'll work with it. Or your most expensive. Probably it will stack up, and I'll back this, it will stack up to the best of them that are out there, as far as what it can do, as far as recognition and, image navigation, working its way around, pulling out the subtitles and, pulling out the labels on the pictures and putting them in the appropriate spots. It'll work with 2 columns, 3 columns, 4 columns. But what we did to optimize the OCR package is not everything's created equal. Books are created different than magazines. Magazines are created different than newspapers. So what we have, and faxes are even a different animal. So what we did is we designed our system to work with different templates. We have one that will work generally for all of them, but if you get into a real situation, you can have a specific template for a designated type of material, and which is optimized for it, so you'll get the best clarity that possible. And, of course, ours works with 12 different languages as well.
Are these templates customizable by the user and then savable?
The light version, we have a set of templates because that's kind of designed for the general public. Those people who are a little bit more daring and a little bit more exciting, it does have a template designer so they can design their own template.
So when you say templates, does that mean things like, for example, what the brightness level is and point size, different things like that?
Well, actually, no. What it means is you can set up certain regions. It will only read. You can set up a template to read. And you can define the font size per a zone on the template. But, for example, a fax, you only want it to read certain areas of the fax. And you can set it up so it will read just those areas. Forms, for example. You can have it set up so only read certain parts of the forms if you do it on a regular basis.
Okay, and so that's an interesting concept because there's always been a desire by blind users to take advantage of the scanning technology and somehow have a almost like a web-based form where you could tab between the fields and fill in the blanks and print the form out. Are we there yet?
That's hopefully we're going to release that as an upgrade next year.
That'll be very exciting. So that's the scanning engine. Have you, given that this is a blindness-related product primarily, are you taking account things such as de-skewing pages, things that often can happen when a blind person puts a book on the scanner?
Yes. Oh, exactly. Yes, you can be up to, we haven't tested it. We've only tested it 15%. We just got the new OCR package, but we've tested it at up to a 15-degree angle. And it will automatically change it. We found out that if you tilt it more than 15 degrees, it's usually cutting off parts of the paper off the scanner. So it can handle up to 15-degree correction.
Is it possible to
upside
scan
down, sideways?
Okay. Is it possible to scan 2 pages of a book at one time and have the scanner make a distinction between page 1 and page 2?
Almost definitely. What that will do is that will recognize it as 2 separate columns.
Okay.
And it will read it appropriately left to right.
A lot of the scanning packages now have also embarked upon some degree of word processing features where you can edit a document from within the scanning package and spell check it, even use a thesaurus or a dictionary. Is that a feature that Scan and Read is supporting?
Yes, the front end is a full word processor. you don't necessarily need a scanner to use this because you can open up any Word document, any text file, any text format, and you can actually do the editing within there. Our goal here was to keep it inexpensive, and a lot of people have word processors that are much more robust than what we have. So it's not just to produce a manuscript, but if you need to find editing or do a spell check on it, that's fine. But there again, once you scan it in, you can save it as basically any word processor format and use your regular word processor to do advanced editing. But yes, our dictionary comes from a 100,000 word dictionary. And that's some of the slow release, some of the reasons for the slow release is we are using foreign language dictionaries as well, and we're actually importing them from country of origin. We figured that would be the best way to actually get the correct dictionaries. So we have dictionaries coming from Germany, Norway, Russia, etc.
How smart is that foreign language support? Does it automatically detect the appropriate language, or would you need to nominate the language that you're about to scan in?
You have to nominate the language. You have to put it in there.
Right.
It's each language, we have to pay a royalty on each language. So each language, we have to mark up a little bit, then we will provide you with that language. The scanning will automatically, you can select the language and scan it and it will recognize any language. You'll have no problem with that. But the voice engine, when it reads, you need the appropriate reading engine for that. But if your computer is currently set up for that language, let's say you're currently running Spanish on your computer, it'll work just fine. It's those that want multiple languages on a computer.
You mentioned that you wanted to make sure that the technology worked with screen readers as well, but I understand it's also self-voicing if you don't have an existing screen reader.
That is correct. We use a Microsoft voice synthesizer built into it. You can use that. You can use JAWS or the voice synthesizer that comes with it. You don't have to turn either one off. You can choose to if you want. But neat is, if you're in JAWS, you can just press Alt-Tab, go to the screen reader, and use your JAWS commands. Or, if you want, you can press the F6 key in the Microsoft Engine will kick on, and you can actually use a different voice for reading document. And that's the advantage. So you can still use your numeric keystrokes or your JAWS command and within our application without interfering at all. You no longer have to put your screen readers to sleep.
Given that you are supporting Microsoft speech, does that mean that it's possible to support any MSAPI compliant speech synthesizers such as Via Voice Out Loud or FlexTalk or something else?
Yes. Whatever your choices are.
Okay.
We don't automatically install the Microsoft SAPI. If you already have a voice synthesizer installed, you're allowed to use that one.
And can it detect the SAPI synthesizers that you have on your system and ask you to choose between them?
No, it goes with the current one that's set as the default.
Okay.
It's a little bit, we're working on that, but at this point, no.
And you did mention briefly that there are a whole lot of formats that you can save a document to if you're in a work situation and you have colleagues that want to receive a document in a particular format. Is that for output as well as input? In other words, could you take a Microsoft Word document if you didn't have a screen reader and read it within Scan and Read?
Yes. Yeah. I've purchased about 20 different filters of the most common software packages, anywhere from Excel to Microsoft Word, and then you can save it as a rich text format that virtually anything will open, or HTML format, even if you wanted to. So the goal was to make it as work with your system as well as possible.
Is there any intention for Scan and Read to support Braille either now or in the future?
We are working with a copy of Duxbury right now. We would like to automatically be able to export this right to an embosser. But it will work with if you have a refreshable Braille screen that you're using with JAWS, it will work with this.
Are there any other features in Scan and Read that we haven't covered that you think are particularly noteworthy?
Well, yes. What we were tying into, we're working with some of the ebook manufacturers, so you can automatically import or work with the ebook filter. So your ebooks now, you can actually read your ebooks that you can buy online. For example, your Tom Clancy books, you can download those for a couple dollars and actually put them into your screen, scan and read light, and actually read those. Another advantage that you can do is you can get one of those books or any textbook and scan it in or import it, and then save your voice out to a MP3 file and put it on your MP3 player and take it with you.
Yeah, that's a very interesting feature. So presumably that would use the default SAPI synthesizer for the MP3 output, I take it.
Yes. It captures the voice output, so whatever one is being used within the system.
And that's real time. In other words, if you're recording, say, an hour's worth of MP3 to dump to your Diamond Rio or some other player, you would have to sit there and let it read for an hour.
Yes.
So that's going to be a really interesting feature for people who perhaps don't have a portable, you know, like a Roadrunner or a Braille Light or some other portable device.
Speaking of like a Roadrunner, now this saves as regular text too, so if you wanted to export this to a Roadrunner, you could. I've had a few people doing that, where they actually scan the document and save, not the voice, but they actually save the information right out to a Roadrunner.
Right, so you can save it as a pure ASCII text file.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds good. Now, when are we likely to see this out and available for download and trialing? Because I understand you do have a demo version that's going to be available.
We're looking at September 15th. It's going to be a staggered release. We're going to release the light because there's less variables with that. And we're hoping everything goes according to plan, but before we release it, the pro version. But that will be about 2 or 3 weeks later.
If people buy the light, is there any kind of upgrade path to the pro?
Yes. Generally, if they... what we're going to do is we're going to offer the Pro probably right off the bat for like $129. So if they buy the Lite and they want to go up to the Pro, if they want to check it out, it'll probably be like a $29 upgrade. Very inexpensive.
What's the model that you have in mind for the purchase of this? Will people be able to order over the web with a credit card and download it, or are they going to be shipped a CD? How does it work?
We prefer to ship a CD. We're not going to be doing online ordering. The reason is we have a lot of interest. A lot of people want to be distributors. So we're going to open up nationwide distributorships to individuals. And that way they'll have somebody local to call. And if we sell over the Internet, we kind of circumvent them. So we're going to try to avoid that and allow our distributors to be able to handle the product. We will have distributors in Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom will handle all of Europe.
What will be the functional limitations of the demo that people will be able to download?
It'll be full functioning. The only thing, it'll be limited to 50 scans. No time limit.
So do you mean that there... 50 scans per session or 50 scans period? Once the 50 scans are up, no matter how long it takes, that's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, once the 50 scans are up, it's up. All you have to do is call and say you want a copy, and if you order it, at that point we can give you a serial number to put in, and it will release the trial version that you have, and then if there's an upgrade on the CD when you get it, you can just apply the upgrade.
What will be your policy for upgrades in terms of the costs of those?
Okay, right now we are dealing with the Millennium, you know, Windows Millennium coming out. And so what we're going to do, anybody who orders it now will get a free Millennium upgrade. We're not anticipating any problems, but if there's always something that has to be fixed. But we wanted to keep our upgrades to a bare minimum. You know, with new scanner drivers and that coming out, we have to provide them on a regular basis. So we're looking at probably, we're trying to keep our upgrades to a minimum of one a year, and we're looking at anywhere from $19 to $20, or $19 to $30 per upgrade.
And what kind of system requirements must a person have on their PC to use Scan and Read?
The system requirements are really simple. If they're running Windows 98 or Windows 2000 or Windows NT or in the future Windows Millennium, that should be adequate. We recommend 64 mega RAM, but it's not really necessary. Of course, CD-ROM drive and a sound card. That's really about all the requirements there are. It's really minimal.
How easy is it to install it?
It's an auto run. You put the CD in and basically it'll step you through the direction.
Do you see a market for this product outside of the blind community, or is that your sole target market for this particular product?
No, no, our market is, the blind community is actually a smaller part of our market. Our market is, the dyslexic community. Our market is the schools, the libraries, and a wide variety of just, people who want an interesting way of reading their books. Especially once we have the ebook filter in there, we see a huge market for individuals that, want to take their, instead of reading their ebook, actually have their ebook read to them. And we're actually planning on putting out just a simplified version called the ebook reader, and that's all it does is pull in your ebooks and read it.
Well, there's a huge industry out there in the audiobooks arena, and I don't know whether sighted people will ever get used to having their books read by any kind of synthesized speech. I guess as synthesized speech improves, they may well do. But obviously, if you've got the technology in there to dump audio to an MP3 player and somebody's driving to work and there's a long commute and lots of traffic jams and things, that could be a market for the general sighted public.
Well, a lot of the college and university are going to electronic books. And that's where we actually see our market. We found a lot of people that that if they can see it and hear it, they have a lot better, they can interpret it or remember it much greater than just reading it itself. So we're using the dual input as a learning technique or as a learning tool. And people are seeing that to be highly effective. The estimates are that the ebook business is going to be a $2.6 billion a year business. And we're only looking for a small fraction of that.
And who can blame you for that? Do you have some sort of feature set for those with learning disabilities then, such as dyslexia built into the product at the moment?
Yes. It does just a little bit of the, it will track the words, it will track the sound, allows individuals to go up and down, read one line at a time, be able to spell out words, etc. We don't have a phonic engine in it, but that is something that we are working on. So I'll phonetically pronounce the words for them and see what the phonetic are of a particular word.
Now, is there a website up and running at the moment that gives people information and where people can go when the demo is eventually released?
Yes. The website was just completed this last weekend and is www.premier-programming.com. And I want to stress the hyphen, not underscore.
Okay, so premier-programming.com and not using underscore.
Right, there's just a hyphen.
Right.
Premier hyphen.
Well,
You'll see, there's another product that we have out there that I'd like to talk about is our graph reader. We developed that. That is something that will probably be incorporated in the next 12 months into the scan and read.
Have you kind of developed an appetite for products that appeal to the adaptive technology market? Might you work on non-OCI-related things in the future, do you think, or is this the core business that you're concentrating on?
I program because I love to program, so I'm always looking for new challenges. And every time I meet people, everybody has an idea. I don't have to come up with my own ideas anymore. With a number of people that I meet and say, hey, what about doing this or what about doing that? And that's really what's needed. After talking to a lot of people and being in contact with a lot of people, they provide me with ideas or corrections. And that's what we're hoping with Canon Read, that people will give us a good feedback and can really make a positive improvements over the next couple of years.
Well, we'll certainly be interested in getting our hands on a demo of the package, and I appreciate you coming on the show.